Now, if you have your Bibles, please have them open to Ephesians chapter 5, the passage we were looking at together. And as you would have picked up, we are looking at the doctrine of submission in Scripture, God's good gift of submission. And we'll be doing this in general, but also specifically in marriage. Now, I'm very conscious that in the world we live in, the idea of submission, obedience, it grates against us. It doesn't sit well because it goes against our natural instinct of independence, of autonomy. We live in a world that flattens distinctions. It removes hierarchy and order. And of course, we're painfully aware that even if those structures are in place, sadly, there have been abuses of power. So given all of that, submission, it's not very attractive. Doesn't seem wise nor sensible. In fact, you might think that the idea of submission and obedience in right relationships is outdated, dangerous, and foolish. Why would anyone voluntarily give up their independence and autonomy? Nevertheless, as we've just discussed with the children, we live in a world full of structure, order. And God expects those in positions of authority and influence to lovingly lead, as we've looked at in previous weeks, particularly husbands. And husbands, if we fail to lead in a loving and humble way, like Christ, we will be held account to a much higher level of detail for our failures. But he also calls us to humbly submit to those in authority. And submission, as we'll see in a moment, isn't just limited to marriage, but it's required in all of life. So this morning, and I'm mindful we have a number of visitors, we've been going through a series on biblical foundations. We've looked at the roles of men, women, how God has made us and created us. You are partway through the series. I've spent several weeks addressing men, and now we'll be addressing women. But before we do that, I'm going to try and demonstrate that submission is a requirement for all of us, male, female, married, single, doesn't really matter. We are all required to submit. Firstly, general submission. Then secondly, we'll look at the specific call to wives in their marriages and some practical considerations. So let's firstly look at biblical submission, and we'll do this more broadly. What relationships require submission? In what context do we see submission? And what's the motivation particularly given to Christians to submit? But firstly, submission. Now, the biblical word is hopatasso, which basically means voluntary obeying, yielding to another in love. It's subordinating ourselves. It's submitting ourselves to someone else. It's obeying someone else. It's voluntary yielding up our choices, our preferences, and submitting to someone other than ourselves. Now, as I say that, that's going to feel very risky. It's going to feel unnatural. The reason for that is we live in a world that has been so conditioned with the idea of survival of the fittest, right? So the world tells us we exist because the strong have applied themselves, have exerted themselves. They have dominated others and they have survived. That's how the world has presented survival of the fittest. If we're to survive, flourish and thrive, we're to cling to our rights, we're to dominate others, and we're to assert ourselves. In the thinking of the world, those who submit are losers. If you submit to someone else, you are a loser. That is what the world teaches, right? You see that in martial arts, in boxing, MMA, BJJ. You act in such a way that you force the loser to submit to you. That's how we've been conditioned. We're not to, as you're driving down Monday to Friday, Parramatta Road, all these lanes emerging, you're not going to let the other people get in front of you because you're not the loser, they're the loser. Stuck on public transport, maybe you're more eco-friendly. Why should I stand for you? I got this seat first. You're the loser, I'm the winner. If anyone doubts the Christian heritage or the Christian influence in England, David and Bridget have just returned from the UK. They can attest to, and we would have all seen on our TV screens, how long was the queue? 5 miles? 8 kilometres? I tell you, that is the Christian influence on that country. You don't get queues, you don't get orderly lines in countries that have not had Christian influence and say, submit to one another. The biblical word means to voluntarily submit, yield ourselves to one another. And it fits in with the whole picture in the Bible to consider others better than ourselves. We see that, as we're going to deal with husbands and wives in a moment, I'd like us to read verse 21 in Ephesians 5. Here there's been an exhortation to Christians in general. There's been a lot of things said. And then finally it says in 21, submitting to one another out of reverence or fear of Christ. This isn't just for the married. Christians are to submit to one another. As believers, we're to consider others better than ourselves. Now, we know that this isn't just for church life. We should learn this at a young age. We're told in the fifth commandment that children are to obey their father and their mother, to submit to them. And we even see this in chapter 6, don't we? Look at chapter 6 of Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In 1 Peter 5, we're told that the younger are to submit to the older. In Hebrews 13, 17, it says that we're to obey and to submit in church to the elders, to the leaders in the church. We're told in Colossians that in the workplace, slaves are to submit to their masters. And this, I know, is the favourite chestnut of the day, the last 2 years, Romans 13. Citizens are to submit to government. Now, in all those spheres, there can be abuse of power. In every sphere, whether it's in the home, to parents. That's why it says fathers aren't to exasperate their children. But it also says to employers or masters not to be harsh to their servants. And of course, I don't need to tell people here that governments too will be held to account for how they govern the people entrusted to them. And so it is with church leaders, not to lord it over the flock. Nevertheless, the call is to general submission, a heart to submit, to obey. Now, whatever the context, whether it's domestic, work, or public sphere, submission is difficult, it is hard. And we've already seen one of those reasons, because our hearts that are geared towards independence, autonomy, putting self first, we don't like surrendering rights. I don't. But additionally, it's hard to submit to sinful leaders. They could be inconsistent, unreliable, or downright evil and wicked. May I remind people that we in the Western world have a new altar set up. And that altar is a temple dedicated to wokeism, to progressivism. And it takes our common experience of disappointment in leaders and takes it to the next level. Because what they're saying is it's not just that they're sinful leaders, they're just saying all forms of authority and hierarchy are wrong. But whether it's the family, whether it's the workplace, or whether it's the public square, we know that all authority has been given by God. And so the general tenor of our hearts ought to be to acknowledge, to accept, and even embrace authority. Brothers and sisters, if your heart grates against authority, if that is your natural inclination, we must repent. Because God calls us to submit, and it's not just in marriage. I tell you, as we address women and you go, oh, look at the women out there, they've got to submit in this situation. There is no one in this room that does not have to submit. We are all in relationships. We work for people, we have parents, we have governments that we must submit to. Submission seems unpopular. It's unattractive. We live in an increasingly skeptical world against authority, and it is scathing. And so for those, I just want to warn people, particularly here, who are very strongly anti-government, you realize you are singing the chorus of the deconstructionists as well of woke ideology. There are times to be critical of authority, and rightly so, but our spirit should be different. It should be one to uphold authority as much as we can. We don't get in the bandwagon of others trying to deconstruct and dismantle authority, because authority is from God. Where would we be without submission, without biblical submission? Take the road rules again. Where would we be if those little white painted lines on the road, people didn't submit to that? Lane markings. If you could drive wherever you wanted. Do you know there is no power in the electrical signal that covers traffic lights or the give way signs? There is no magical power in that. We recognize the benefits of submission at a roundabout. And we also see what happens when people don't submit. Absolute chaos. And more than chaos, danger. Great danger. A lack of submission is first seen in the Garden of Eden, is it not? By Adam and Eve. Not only did that lead to chaos, danger, it led to death, physical and spiritual. What's the only way out of the mess that we're in as a human race? What's the way of escape? In God's kindness, submission is required. And not just our submission, but God's Son. Did Jesus have to come to earth? Did Jesus necessarily want to come to earth? Was he forced to? No, he freely submitted to the Father's will. To come to his creation, fallen creation, he submitted to the demands of the people. He submitted to the demands of wicked rulers. Do you see Jesus hung on a cross crying out, "My rights, where are my rights?" And that's our Lord and Savior. He gave up his rights for those who were worthy, for those who were deserving. Did he submit to the kings, to Herod, to the Sanhedrin because it was righteous laws? He submitted in such a way that seemed foolish, seemed crazy, it seemed weak. If he was truly strong, if he's truly God, surely he'd take himself off this cross. No, friends, we see that a lack of submission brought sin into the world. A lack of submission perpetuates trouble and chaos and death in the world. But biblical submission, exemplified through the Lord Jesus Christ, reverses and redeems and restores. No, you will not hear a favorable word about submission from the world, because it looks weak and foolish, but it is the power of God unto salvation. If Jesus Christ did not submit, we would not have the gospel. And friends, servants, and that's what we are not greater than our master. So by God's grace, and it is only by God's grace, we're to have a heart of obedience and submission. Apart from Christ, you cannot have a heart of submission. You might want to keep the law of God, but you cannot keep the law of God. You need a new heart. As Christians, all submission must be motivated by, it says, a reverence of Christ or a fear of Christ. A healthy respect, a holy reverence in verse 21. We cannot submit to others if we first have not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who grants us grace and favor to do that which our flesh grates against. But with a new heart, we can humbly submit to those around us. I'd like us now to look at submission in marriage. And what I've tried to show is that the call to submission is for all. So I'm not picking on women. I was saying to Nicole earlier, this is a hard message to preach. It's a hard message to preach because I'm a man preaching on a topic addressing women, but because we're a biblical church, a complementarian church, in this mixed setting, you're not going to get anyone else here other than a man to do it. So here we are. Let's read verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In previous messages, we have already shown that men and women are equal. Both, in Genesis 1, are called to be fruitful. Both are called to multiply. Both are called to fill and subdue the earth. We have already seen male and female, both in Christ, are co-heirs. One doesn't get more than the other. They are equal in image. They are equal in inheritance for the kingdom of God. Yet we've also seen that men and women have distinct and defined roles. And we saw this in Genesis 2. And we saw that primarily because Adam was created first. He was tasked to be the head, the leader, the representative. He was formed first, and he was asked to work and to keep the garden. Then Eve was created to help man to work and keep the garden, to assist in worship. In the previous weeks, we've seen men are to take that leadership position seriously, soberly, prayerfully. They're to take initiative. And so now we ask ourselves, how is a wife to relate to husbands in loving leadership? They are to submit, to voluntarily yield, to obey. Everyone here knows I'm not musical, so if this falls short, let's go with it. If marriage was a song, then a husband is to play or sing the melody. The wife doesn't necessarily sing exactly the same, but perhaps a harmony And together it's better than just one tune. But as the husband sings, the wife can't just sing whatever she wants. Can't sing in a different key, different tempo. It has to fit and to complement and to follow the lead of the male. I've had it said that, you know, I know Maverick, that Top Gun movie, was very popular a few weeks ago. I've seen it a couple of times, I must confess. You know that phrase, you can be my wingman. Oh, you be my wingman. No, you're in the same plane. But wives, you're not a passenger at the back seat. If the husband is the pilot, then you are there right with them. You're doing very important things, critical things. Your input is to be received, it's to be considered. Think of yourself as the navigator, not just a passenger sitting up there waiting to see what's on the menu on the flight today. You are an active participant in marriage. This is not passive. Husbands and wives come together in a covenant of companionship, working together, but a husband has a role to lead, to take initiative, and a wife is there to support, to help, to affirm, submit to. Now, I just want to highlight something. Who is requiring wives, women, to submit in Ephesians 5:22? Is it the husbands in Ephesus telling their wives to submit? No, it's not husbands giving instructions. It is God himself, because that is how we read Scripture. Yes, the Apostle Paul has written these words, given these instructions to the Ephesians, but we understand this as God speaking through his servant. Now, just in case, I know Paul gets a bad rap, I want us to turn to 1 Peter 3 as well. Because in 1 Peter 3, we see it is not just Paul that God uses, but it is also Peter. Let's read 1 Peter 3, verse 1 onwards. Likewise, wives or women, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Friends, it is God who requires wives to submit to husbands because it is part of his design. Note what submission isn't, though. It is not a wife submitting to every man as husband. We see this, it says, wives, back in Ephesians, or you can read it in 1 Peter 3, wives, submit to your own husbands. Women, submit to your own man. For those who aren't aware, the word wife and woman is interchangeable. The word for husband and man is... So it could be written, woman, submit to your own man. Or wife, submit to your own man. And this isn't a general call to all women to submit to all men. We also note that the call to submission is not due to inferiority, a lack of ability, a lack of capacity. This isn't conditional that you must submit to someone if they are smarter than you, more mature than you, they understand the Bible more than you, they're older than you, they're better looking than you. That's highly unlikely, just looking around. No, the basis of submission is in reverence to Christ. Note also that it is not due to fear of the husband, fear of punishment, fear of negative consequences, nor is it idolizing the husband. It's not putting them on a pedestal to worship them. It's to respect and to honor. But all submission is ultimately to Christ. Submission is required of wives to their own husbands because God calls them to, as to the Lord. And wife is to submit to her husband, who is, as it were, her head. And we see this in verse 23. The command in 22 has a reason given. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its saviour. Now, one of the most pressing questions is, what's the extent of submission? How far do I have to go? Well, what's 24 say? Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit, this is going to be very uncomfortable, in everything to their husbands. In everything to their husbands. This call has broad, wide, all-encompassing application. It covers small issues, insignificant issues. It also covers big issues like, what are our family priorities? How will we spend our time? Our finances, where we live, children. Now, you might think, for those who are single, you might think, does that mean every decision, every discussion in marriage is like World War III, and you're all having this argument about... This is why it's so important to marry in the Lord. Why is it important to marry in the Lord? Because the more closely aligned your understanding of scripture, marriage, values and priorities are, I suspect the healthier the marriages, the less discussion and debate there are. In fact, if you are aligned in your desire to serve the Lord, to seek first the kingdom, many of these things just fall into line, just very naturally, in a healthy way. How you spend your money, we want to give to the kingdom, let's give to the kingdom. Let's have people in our home for hospitality. There's no arguments. There's often unity in thinking. But then someone suggests you get a pet dog. For those who are visiting, there's a lot of unity in our family. But there have been some sad moments and sad seasons. Once upon a time, some family members wanted a pet canine. We had the discussion. Many were for it, but one wise woman was against it. Long story short, someone exercised their right to lead, and someone exercised their right and their privilege to submit. Still unhappy about the decision, in a general sense, like. But biblical submission is once the decision has been made. Despite the hair around the house, the scratches on the door, the smell, the odours, the being woken up at all sorts of ungodly hours by this dog. I have not heard, and I told you so moment. Because once the decision has been made, we're all in. But there's the warning to husbands. There's the warning. Listen to your wives. Consider their counsel. Because if you do make that decision, it's on your shoulders. And they've been very heavy shoulders for the past 3 years. A wife's general disposition is to submit, to support. I was speaking to someone earlier who's a lawyer, and I said, it's not to look at the small print, the conditional clauses. Why? Because the reason has been given: when the church submits to Christ, should we submit to Christ in 50% of the time? Half the time it's my way, half the time it's Jesus' way? No. What about 80%, 90%? Lord, how about you take most of the calls in life and we'll just take some calls? After all, you've given us new hearts. No. The church ought to be wholeheartedly committed to submitting to Christ in all things. And so it is with wives in marriages. To help the husband, to support, to encourage. Problems arise in the life of the church when we don't submit to Christ. And so it is in marriage. Ought we be surprised? But Mike, are you sure there are no exceptions? After all, a human husband is not Christ. We're not sinless. We're not perfect. I've already given you an example of making mistakes. You know, there's that call in 1 Peter 3 to submit to husbands, even though there's a sense in which they don't obey the Lord. There's the general disposition. You can make a foolish and silly decision, financial decisions, getting dogs, all sorts of things. But a husband cannot abuse their position and say, honey, let's rob a bank this long weekend. A husband cannot force, must not influence their wives to sin. Because there's that warning, isn't there? He who leads a little one to sin, greater is your judgment. But let me take you to Acts 5. This is the early church. There have been generous donations to the life of the church. And there is a couple there called Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias is the husband, Sapphira the wife. They'd seen all these donations given and they say, let us donate to the church. Let us look good in front of people. And so they sell their land, but they keep a portion of it for themselves. Ananias says, in effect, let's sin. And it's at that point Sapphira should have said, darling, love you, want to support you, I want to honour you as my head, but in this I cannot. Ananias is summarily judged by the Holy Spirit. The wife comes up and is complicit in that, and she too. Brothers, let's be careful how we lead our wives, not to lead them into sin, not to put them in awkward situations where there is great temptation. But this is similar, isn't it? If your boss in the workplace says, let's fudge the numbers, it's the end of financial year, let's lie to the government. As an employee, you can't do that because you submit as unto the Lord. Children, if your parents ask you to do something that is outright sin, if you're going to obey in the Lord, but if it's a matter of preferences, to eat your broccoli and your greens, children, that is not a sin. If you need to work more overtime, that is not necessarily a sin. Yes, wives are to obey in everything, and as I've just highlighted there, we're to generally obey in everything. Everything doesn't mean absolute. There's just a general desire to submit, honor, and obey. And what I also want to say, submission in marriage does not mean surrendering your thinking, reason, or input. It is an unhealthy marriage where all the decisions are made by a husband with no input from others. We see that in other areas of life, don't we? There's a period of consultation, discussion, prayer. And next week, we'll be specifically looking at Proverbs 31. You do know that that woman there is married. And she's a pretty amazing woman. And any husband that doesn't listen to his wife, you're cutting off a wealth of biblical input and wisdom that you'd be a fool to ignore. That woman in Proverbs 31, she's married, yet she is not helpless nor hopeless. Healthy marriages are between equals. And as I say, the more closely aligned you are, the more you discuss, study the scriptures, pray, and sharpen one another. I dare say most decisions are not an arm wrestle, but you gladly support each other. But on the odd occasions where there are disagreements, and it's not a question of sin, one is to lead, one is to follow. I'd like to wrap up with this. Brothers, if you're a husband or aspiring to be a husband, let's be careful how we lead our wives or what we expect of our wives. This is a command from the Lord. This is not for you to command. Kevin DeYoung puts it like this: submission is never forcibly taken. It is something freely given. It is not forcibly taken, but it is freely given. Great care must be taken with our wives who trust and follow us, explain our decisions, explain the things that we've considered and factored in, communicate in such a way that we affirm to our wives we have listened to them. We care for them. And why the decision we're making is biblical, it is wise, it is prudent, it is right. When we communicate in such a way, that encourages trust, encourages love and support. But the alternative is true. If you start making one-sided decisions all the time without bringing your equal covenant life partner with you, you're encouraging a heart to be bitter, to feel unloved, not included, not equal. And brothers, to the extent we love and lead like Christ, we remind our wives of what Christ has done for us. We're to lead like Christ and to make it as easy for our wives to submit. And wives, your submission is ultimately not to your husband, not because he's worth it, not because he's treated you nicely, but it's ultimately to the Lord, and he never changes. And when our God commands us to submit, it is always worth obeying. But you must never obey when there is a call to be sinful. If your husband leads well, give thanks. Rejoice. Encourage him. Support him. Making decisions is hard, especially difficult ones. If there are disagreements, pray for wisdom, grace, understanding, and encourage your husbands as best you can. But for all of us, give thanks that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not obliged to submit to the cross, to rulers who were wicked, for sinners who were undeserving, was so pleased to lay down his life for us. You see, submission, as Kevin DeYoung says, is not forcibly taken. It is something freely given. And to the extent we see that in marriages, children to parents, in the workplace, in the wider society, but especially in marriage, we reflect the gospel. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that your Son so freely and willingly and voluntarily came to give up his life for those who were unworthy. We pray, Lord, that as we look to him and we remember what he has done for us, you would grant us the grace to submit to one another, and particularly to submit in the various relationships such as work, family, and also in marriage. We pray for godly leadership in homes, that husbands would lead their wives well like Christ, and so make it a joy for wives to submit to their husbands. We pray for grace, the grace of repentance for all, whether it's poor leadership or poor submission, that we would come to you and find fresh forgiveness, but also hope. Hope that as we submit to you and your word in our living, in our families, we would reflect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his great name. Amen.